Hey everyone, it's VCM Stein, managing editor of the Bulwark. I'm joined by Sonny Bunch and Will Sommer. We're going to be talking about the Odyssey and the backlash, the ridiculous backlash, the over-the-top backlash that has happened online among the MAGA right towards this Christopher Nolan soon-to-be classic. Let's just set the stage here. The Odyssey, it's open to incredible success, commercial and acclaimed success, $124.5 million in ticket sales in the U.S. and Canada from Thursday through Sunday. It will be easily the biggest domestic opening of the year for a live-action film, ranked third behind the great Toy Story 5, which is a Sonny Bunch favorite, of course, and Super Mario Galaxy movie, another Sonny Bunch favorite.
I'll put up with Toy Story 5, but not Super Mario Galaxy. Don't slander me that way.
I would
way.
Never besmirch you like that. And yet online, if you just followed MAGA accounts, or some MAGA accounts, I shouldn't say all MAGA accounts, you would think this is like one of the greatest affronts to literature, the classics, humanity, really, in modern cinema. I had the unfortunate experience of retweeting, or no, I clicked on one Matt Walsh tweet, and my entire algorithm for the For You section became flooded with Elon Musk styled takedowns of the Odyssey for being too woke. So, Sonny, what exactly is the problem with the Odyssey, according to these people?
It's interesting that you mention what happened with the Twitter algorithm for you, because I've noticed the same exact thing since the movie came out. Like, I wasn't tweeting about it a ton, you know, just kind of standard stuff. But then I started this weekend as the numbers were rolling in, and the algorithm is incredibly Odyssey juiced. It is Odyssey maxing on Twitter right now. And like most of this is very negative, because that's what Elon really wants to push. He wants to push that this movie is woke trash, that it's a violation of all we hold dear by having Lupita Nyong'o, who is a black woman, play Helen of Troy, which is a casting choice that would never happen, certainly would never happen in a 1950s adaptation of the film by Orson Welles or anything like that. That certainly wouldn't happen. The other thing is the casting of Elliot Page as a Greek soldier was, so there was fake news. There was like actual fake news about this for weeks and weeks. People were saying, oh, this is Achilles. Christopher Nolan has cast Elliot Page as Achilles, and Elliot Page has many great qualities as an actor, but is a very small person, like is not a big brawny warrior. And they were like, oh, this is ridiculous, this is wokeness, blah, blah, blah. Turns out not actually Achilles. Achilles is not in the movie at all. Achilles is, I did not see Achilles on screen once, I don't think. In the sacking of Troy, Agamemnon is prominently featured, and then there's a bunch of kind of nameless, faceless Greeks rushing into Troy, and of course, Odysseus and his men running around doing things. No Achilles. So there were these two kind of separate controversies, and the third kind of ancillary thing, which I think, you know, I don't know how many people who were complaining about this have read any translation of the Odyssey, but there was a lot of talk about Emily Wilson's translation of the Odyssey being the one that was used. And of course, she's a woman, and it's kind of revisionist, and it's a little more feminist, so it's too woke, we can't have that. The right wing Chud Brigade was pretty convinced that they are going to tank this movie, that it was not going to do well. It didn't matter that the pre-sales were the best pre-sales of all time, that like AMC's website crashed. The only time it had crashed like that before was when Taylor Swift was doing a kind of one night only concert or one weekend only concert thing, and then she expanded it to more weekends, whatever. But the like AMC couldn't keep up with the demand for these tickets. The IMAXs are sold out all over the country. It's in multiple formats. It's doing huge numbers, as you said, and it will probably continue to do pretty good numbers because the pre-sales remain very good. But all of this just goes to show that Twitter, not real life. Turns out Twitter,
no,
not real, not real.
There's a couple other things that have stood out among the critics, and I'm going to go to Will after this. One, Travis Scott is cast in this. People didn't like that. He's black. Two is apparently the armor and the ships are not Greek enough. And also, I should just add to that, there are no Greek actors apparently in here, and people are very upset about that. They're very, very despondent that they didn't have Greek actors in here. I referenced Matt Walsh. This was the lengthy post he put up last night that got my algorithm all hot and bothered. He says, just saw The Odyssey. Despite what you may have heard, literally all of the criticisms by conservatives were entirely correct. Movie is just as woke as you fear, if not more so. The DEI casting is atrocious. Completely takes you out of the story right from the beginning. But even worse than that is Nolan's decision to turn Odysseus into an anachronistic, whiny, solemn shell of a man plagued by trauma. Trauma's in quotes. Why is trauma in quotes? And guilt. It's impossible to overlook these flaws because the film itself is not terribly entertaining or well-constructed. For the most part, it's disjointed, dull, self-serious, disenchanted, somehow feeling both verbose and overly rushed at the same time. This tweet feels both verbose and overly rushed. The dialogue is some of the worst I've ever heard in, quote, critically acclaimed film. Why is that in quote? Quote, on the nose and, quote, clunky are descriptions that can't even begin to describe the script. This is Homer, guys. At no point in the story does Nolan even transport the audience into the ancient world. You never feel like you're 3,000 years in the past. You feel like you're watching modern Americans put on a pageant, because you are. Nobody would be calling this thing a masterpiece if it was made by a director not named Christopher Nolan. That tweet sucks. Will, what have you been witnessing online?
Well, you know, look, I'm obviously very steeped in the right-wing algorithm in the media. And I was like, I don't know, this movie might be a flop. You know, Sargon of Akkad, all these guys are mad about it. And you know, then it came out and I was surprised. I thought, oh my gosh, it's doing so well at the box office. I was told by Tim Pool or whoever this thing was going to flop. One thing I want to flag about Emily Wilson, the translator here, is she also has like millennial sleeve tats. And they've made a lot about this. Oh my God, this is like HR millennial woke lady. And someone let her do a translation. They've been mad about her translation for years. Obviously, it's getting a lot of attention now because of this movie. So they were not happy about it. And yet, despite the success of this film, the conspiracy theories, now they're starting to think maybe it was still a flop. Maybe, you know, I can still live in this sort of reality of my own choosing.
Yeah, can you get into that? Because there's like some, like, people are accusing like Rotten Tomatoes of being juiced and stuff like that.
Yeah, so a couple things. So, you know, the critics obviously have responded well to this. So there have been accusations that the studio has to be secretly paying the critics, people going to theaters and saying, well, you know, it looked like it was sold out when I bought the tickets, but it looks like maybe there are some more empty seats. So in fact, you know, it must be the studio is secretly buying all of these seats.
Is that even possible?
Is it possible? A lot of things are possible, Sam. I could go to a movie theater right now and buy all the tickets, I guess. That's the thing I could do.
Christopher Nolan's out there just buying those tickets.
His wife and producing partner, Emma Thomas, is like, we got to juice these stats. They'll never let us make another movie. Is it possible? It's possible. It's funny because we had some of the same conspiracy theories when Sound of Freedom was putting up numbers. There were people who were like, this movie can't possibly be making money. Right-wing people aren't showing up for this. The studio's buying out the theaters, blah, blah, blah. And that was also fake news. The argument that Rotten Tomatoes is juicing the stats, I don't actually understand the argument, because Rotten Tomatoes has three different measures. They've got a critics rating, four different measures. They got top critics and all critics, but let's just say one critics rating, which is, I believe, 95% right now. They have two different audience rankings. They have a verified audience rating, which is based on people who Rotten Tomatoes can certify purchased a ticket. So if you purchased a ticket, you can put in I don't know exactly how it works. I've never used it before, but you can put in the data and then you can go to a link and it'll let you vote, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down on the movie. That number is actually higher than the critics number. That number is 97%. The verified audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes is 97%. So again, maybe Emma Thomas has purchased all these tickets and is like, clicking the thumbs up on Rotten Tomatoes too. I don't know. But the all audience. So this is the non-verified audience is 92% fresh or something like that. So like even with probably some downvoting efforts, this movie is blowing past expectations on all fronts.
This message is brought to you by ZocDoc. So this summer, in the midst of our family trip, swim meets, trying to get work done around the house, I don't know, trying to make the doctor's appointment that fits my schedule. It feels kind of impossible, honestly. And you know how it goes. You got that nagging thing you've been meaning to get checked out. But first, you have to actually remember to call. And then you're sitting on hold. Or worse, you're playing phone tag for 3 straight days, leaving voicemails. It's all going into the void. You just don't know what's going on. It's enough to make you slide into another week, another month. Look, we've all done it. I don't want you to get stuck in that loop. And honestly, I'm kind of tired of being stuck in it myself. That's why I want to talk ZocDoc. ZocDoc lets you search and compare local in-network doctors. You get to see actual appointment openings and click to instantly book a visit. Appointments happen fast, usually within 24 to 72 hours, and you can even score same-day appointments. ZocDoc is free to use. Your health matters, and taking care of yourself shouldn't be complicated. Find and book the right doctor today with ZocDoc. Head to ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes to get started and check that appointment off your to-do list. That's ZocDoc.com/BulwarkTakes. Not everyone on the right has decided that they're going to decide that this is just the greatest affront to classic literature and a woke orgasm on screen. There is Dave Rubin, who seemed to like the film. We can play Dave Rubin, right? Yeah, let's play Dave Rubin talking about The Odyssey.
I just want to say one quick thing about the movie. It was spectacular. It really, I tweeted it was a masterpiece. I tweeted it was an absolute masterpiece. The responses were psychotic. If you go on Twitter and look at the responses to that tweet, psychotic. And I don't know if it was, you know, people were like, did you get, who bought you out? Who paid you to say this and everything? I don't know. I went to a movie with a couple friends. And then I had a thought about the movie. But there was nothing woke in it. There really wasn't. There was no woke messaging. There was 2 or 3 odd casting choices. I thought the casting was a little bit off, but Elliot Page and Lupita Nyong'o were barely in the movie. I would say combined had about 8 minutes of screen time.
That seems totally rational. And yet it's like,
it's really interesting to hear him say that, because he does feel it. You guys saw Oppenheimer, right? You know, the end of Oppenheimer where it was Cillian Murphy, J. Robert Oppenheimer, he's telling Albert Einstein that he thinks he destroyed the world, and he has this kind of despondent look on his face, like the machine that he has created.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you build an outrage machine, you know, or you never know which way it's going to go.
Is there something to that, though, Will? Like, it feels like we spent so much time over the last couple of years talking about woke cancel culture. And there's certainly real elements to that, right? Like that was a thing, and people obviously recoiled at that. Are we now in like the inverse where on the right, if you don't have things, you know, as white as humanly possible, I suppose, and not liberal in any sense of the cultural connotations, that people are just going to freak out about it?
Yeah, I mean, first, I just want to say I love the idea that Christopher Nolan, the one guy he would need to buy off is Dave Rubin. He would say, I need Rubin. That's if this movie's going to be a success or not based on him. But, you know, there is this idea, I think, these things in the past that were not really politicized, you know, people almost like wouldn't think of them as a thing to complain about, like, you know, a black woman being cast in a role. It just wasn't really seen as like a MAGA culture war thing. Now people are used to being mad about that. And you see people like Dave Rubin, also Ben Shapiro, which I think we'll get into, almost like begging their ideological compatriots, can we not get on the wrong side of this mega popular thing? Do we need to make this a political thing? Can't we just, I mean, look, you know, in another light, conservatives should love that, you know, there's a big movie about war and masculinity and all this stuff. But there is this sense, I think, that like they just have this kind of very active, relatively small base that is just wants to be mad all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been elements of that, I suppose. I remember like the big Keurig coffee freak out a couple years back. Do you remember that one? Where like Sean Hannity threw his Keurig coffee machine. I forget what that was even about, honestly. What was that about? Do you remember? No clue.
I can't even remember. I mean, another example would be like the Bad Bunny halftime show where, yeah, you know, the people were really fired up. And then some conservatives
were saying, Dylan Mulvaney in the Bud Light ad. Obviously, that was a big one. You know, that's why you have Elliot Page and people freaking out about Elliot Page. So there's something to it, but it does seem a little bit more intense now.
I'll say one thing that has been interesting to watch is over the last few years, there have been these movies that have come out that this group of conservatives have really attacked and have not done well, right? Like movies like Snow White or the new Supergirl movie. You know, you can look back at Strange World, an animated film. And the argument was, we are going after these movies because they're too woke. There's the lesbian kiss in Lightyear. We can't have that. You know, Snow White has this Hispanic actress who, you know, is talking about how much she hates the original. We don't want to go see those movies. And even at the time, my argument was always nobody wanted those movies. Those movies were not going to succeed because they were remakes that nobody wanted, or they were original animated, which hasn't done well post pandemic, whatever. And I think they got a little high on their own supply. Like they were making this argument to themselves that we can take anybody down. We can take anybody down. And then they were like, well, let's take down Christopher Nolan, who is the biggest name in filmmaking right now. I don't think there's an actor who even comes close to him. He's kind of sui generis right now. They're like, we can take him down. We are powerful enough to do this. And that was wrong. That was an incorrect supposition.
Well, and Will referenced Ben Shapiro, but I mean, that's basically Ben Shapiro sort of concedes this. He says, I'll read a couple of these tweets. He says, Nolan is the greatest living director and it's not particularly close. He acknowledges that. After seeing the film, he said, I wanted to hold my opinion on the Odyssey until I'd seen it. I know, weird. So here it is. It's a grand spectacle with a fascinating moral core. It's extraordinary. Also, the actor shouldn't have said dad. And the casting of Elliot Page is a pebble in the shoe, irritating, bothersome, and unnecessary. He then put out a very long tweet. I'm not going to like get super into it, but he was incredibly complimentary of the movie. So there is a kind of division happening. And it's weird because it's happening in like the usual fissures, right? Like, you know, I'm not saying these are the same things, but like Ben Shapiro is very much on the different side of certain foreign policy debates as these MAGA conservatives. So I'm like, is this like a realists versus, you know, fabulists kind of divide? I don't really understand the divisions.
I wanted to ask Will about this because I feel like this is the real split is here. It feels like there's a lot of like, if I know where what your position on Israel is, I've got a pretty good idea of where you're going to come down on this film.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to that. I think there's a sense also we have to keep in mind that there's kind of this like right-wing culture war industry that is very focused, as Sonny mentioned, on being mad about the latest Disney original or what have you. And so for someone like Ben Shapiro, he's kind of beyond that. He's like a foreign policy thinker. He's like sort of a power broker in some ways. Whereas you have these guys who are like have YouTube channels, whatever, they get mad about movies as their job. And that industry in general has kind of been suffering in the past few years. You have people like The Quartering, you have a guy named Tim Pool, all these people who are saying, like they are actively saying, you know, we don't get the views we used to, getting mad about SJW influence at Disney or whatever. So I think there's this kind of divide between these guys who are just going to get mad about anything and someone who thinks a little more strategically like Ben Shapiro.
This might seem like a rhetorical question, but it's to Sonny and I'm going to ask anyway. Like the idea that this film is flawed because it's anachronistic and that it's just not a proper depiction of what real Greek life was like 3,000 years ago or whatever, like that's film. I mean, that's fucking film, right? Like Braveheart, yeah. They didn't all wear kilts. You know, Romeo and Juliet wasn't set in Miami. You know, like what are we talking about? Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Kevin Costner, like didn't even bother to have an English accent in that one. He just kind of stilted American accent. Like,
sure.
Isn't that film?
Yes. For the most part, yes. I mean, look, there's exactly one filmmaker today who is making a movie. If somebody told me Robert Eggers was making a Homeric film, I would expect them to have shot the thing with, you know, clay tablets or whatever. Like he's the one guy who, you know, would make sure that there were no plants, you know, that didn't exist in, you know, the Turkey in 1800 BC or whatever. So I would say there is that guy. Everybody else is just like, we're making movies and what we're doing, especially when we're making a $250 million 3-hour epic movie, is we're going to have it star the biggest stars and we're going to have the best actors in it. And we're going to trust this filmmaker who has proven that he can do these things. One of the things that these folks have been hitting on, a pseudo controversy that is a total non-controversy because it's not real. Elon Musk has suggested over and over again that Christopher Nolan has only done this to win Oscars. He needs to hit a diversity quota to win Oscars. And they point to the diversity rules in the Oscar rules. There is a 4-prong test. It's like a Supreme Court test. There's a 4-prong test. You got to hit 2 of the prongs. Well, I don't know if you guys remember this, but he made a little movie called Oppenheimer a couple years back. Oppenheimer won a few Oscars, including Best Picture. And Oppenheimer had the whitest cast I think I've ever seen in my life. Like there were no minority actors in that at all. And that movie won tons and tons of Oscars. And that movie was out during the during the time period when these diversity rules were in effect, he didn't need to cast these people for diversity purposes. He cast them because they're the best actors. They're the most interesting actors who can do really interesting things in these roles. And anybody who argues otherwise doesn't know a thing about film. And one of the very funny things that's been watching, I get the same algorithmic stuff you guys do. So I've seen a bunch of these, you know, complaints about the diversity quotas. Everyone has a Grok correction under it. Every one of them has not impacted Elon Musk a whit. He does not care about Grok. He is ignoring Grok. Pay attention to your AI bot.
That's not in his playbook. All right. Well, I'm going to go see the movie on Friday. I know Will is not.
Could I just add something here?
No.
The unique thing I think also is worth keeping in mind is for guys who are like extremely into the online right, the Bronze Age is like their thing. You know, as Sam and I have discussed, there's a very prominent figure named Bronze Age Pervert in this universe. These guys love talking about this kind of like Nietzschean vitalism from the Homeric epics, this idea of I'm going to go raid this village and take their women, that's how things should be. So they don't get as fired up, you know, if it's like a Jane Austen thing that has some multiracial casting. It's specifically that it's the Bronze Age, I think, in part, that has riled them up so much. It's kind of like Gamergate, where they were like, you're coming into our zone, the boys club, video games, or in this case, the Odyssey.
So if like Nolan were to do an adaptation of Alexander the Great, like they wouldn't give a shit?
Wouldn't they be mad? No, it's like roughly the same world. I think they'd be mad about. Yeah, I mean,
what's your problem with Macedonians, Sam? I don't
I want to know when their age, what period of time they care about when it starts and when it ends so I can avoid it. I don't want to get into these stupid debates. All right, I'm seeing the movie on Friday. Will's not seeing it.
It's too woke.
Sonny, how many times are you going to see the movie?
Let's see. There are 700 different formats, so I have 699 times left to go.
You're going to go a couple more times, I bet, right?
I will see it at least. I'll see it at least two more times in theaters. Let's be on it. That's okay. About my average with Nolan. It's, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm excited. I still haven't seen Tenet, and I'm not planning to, so. Just, you know, I don't want to get into the whole Nolan thing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm a prestige guy. All right. Will Sommer, Sonny Bunch, everyone else who watched, thanks for enduring this. Do not click on that Matt Walsh tweet. Your algorithm is going to be destroyed. Avoid doing it. Instead, subscribe to The Bulwark. Later.